Okay, let's dive into this. There's a really major contradiction happening right now in the Australian mortgage market. You've got the big banks forecasting cash rate cuts, looking ahead into 2025, even 2026. Lower payments seem like they're on the horizon.
Theoretically, yes.
But at the same time, the actual financial risk, the foundational risk for borrowers, it's going up.
That's right. And what's really fascinating here, I think, is that the risk has fundamentally shifted. It's moved away from just high rates
Towards what then?
towards income security, or maybe income insecurity. The standard way loans are stress tested, the APRA serviceability buffer.
Yeah, where they check if you can handle rates plus another 3%.
Exactly. That test, well, it offers pretty much zero defense against losing your main income completely. Like if you lose your job.
So that old standard, it's a rate buffer, isn't it? Not really a, well, a life buffer. And I guess that's the core question for this deep dive, right? If that traditional safety net is kind of useless against a big income shock, what's the new strategy? What proactive thing do we need?
We need a new way to look at risk.
And where do we see this danger, actually starting? We hear the headline, unemployment numbers, sure, crept up to a four-year high recently, but you're saying that number might be a bit deceptive.
Yeah, exactly. While that headline figure is climbing towards maybe 4.5%, the really critical threat is underemployment. That's sitting higher, around 5.9%.
Underemployment. So people still have a job, just not enough hours.
That's it. Employers are doing this thing we sometimes call a job hugging.
Job hugger.
Yeah, they think they'll need their skilled people back eventually, so they hang on to them. But to manage costs now, they cut hours pretty quickly.
And cutting hours, I mean, that's not abstract. That's your weekly grocery money disappearing, isn't it? It hits the fridge first.
Absolutely. We see it in the data.
Yeah.
Average hours worked fell 0.6% just month on month recently. So you're still employed, technically.
But your cash flow has taken a massive hit.
Exactly. And that's why the APRA test is, well, becoming obsolete for this specific risk. It assumes you're earning 100% of your wage, just paying higher interest. It doesn't account for that income dropping off.
Okay, so if that traditional rate buffer is useless against this income shock you're describing, how do we figure out the real survival threshold? What's the actual calculation?
Right, so we need a different measure. We call it the income shock survival buffer assessment.
Great.
What it does is it quantifies the exact amount of capital, like liquid cash, a borrower needs to keep making their principal and interest payments,
You and I, yeah.
their P&I payments, for a minimum of 6 months. We reckon that's a fairly realistic window for finding new work, especially in a slower job market.
6 months buffer. Okay, how do you calculate that number?
It's not super complex, but it's very targeted. You figure out the monthly cash flow deficit, so that's your normal P&I repayment, minus any sort of accepted replacement income, like the basic government job seeker payment, which is roughly $5,720 a month in Australia right now.
Okay, so P&I minus job seeker gives you the monthly gap.
Yep. So let's say your mortgage payment is $3,500 a month. That leaves the deficit a gap of around $780 each month.
Right, makes sense.
Multiply that $780 by 6 months, and you get a concrete target, $10,680. That's the liquid capital buffer you need.
$10,680. That's a clear number. But let's be real, if someone's already feeling financially stressed, where do they find an extra, nearly $11,000 to just park somewhere?
Good question. The key is to prioritize liquidity over, say, investment returns for this specific buffer. The offset account is really the best tool here.
Because it's instant access.
Exactly. Lose your job Monday, the money's there to make the payment Friday. A term deposit doesn't give you that flexibility. And beyond just saving, we need to talk defense. Yeah, like strategically using your home equity. If you have some, use it to consolidate other debts, especially high interest, non-deductible stuff like credit cards or personal loans.
How is consolidating debt a defensive move in this context? I get it saves interest, but.
Because it directly lowers your mandatory P&I repayment. That $3,500 payment in our example. Maybe consolidating other debts brings it down to $3,000.
Okay. So you're reducing the size of the payment the survival buffer needs to cover.
Precisely. It makes hitting that, say, $10,680 target easier, or it might even lower the target itself if the P&I drops enough. It's about reducing the immediate burden.
Right, that makes sense. This knowledge, it really shifts your focus, doesn't it? You go from just obsessing about the daily interest rate chatter
Which you can't control anyway.
to actually building tangible, long-term financial resilience, something you can control.
And one final point, which is really important. If things get tough, if those liquid buffers run out and you do have to transition to like formal financial hardship with your lender, remember this. Under the Comprehensive Credit Reporting System, CCR, if you stick to an agreed financial hardship arrangement, it will not negatively impact your credit score.
Really? That's huge.
Yeah. Your payment status stays reported as up to date, provided you meet the new agreed terms. It removes a massive fear factor that stopped people seeking help before.
That is a huge peace of mind. Definitely removes a barrier to just picking up the phone. Okay, that's a perfect takeaway then.
It is.
So maybe something for you listening to mull over to explore, now that you know the calculation. P&I minus basic support times 6.
Mm-hmm.
How many months of that survival buffer do you currently have sitting there, ready, in your liquid assets